Welcome to the Search Storage UK special report podcast on cloud disaster recovery. I'm Anthony Adshead, Bureau Chief for Search Storage UK. Today's speaker is Tom Brand, Service Director for Cloud Computing with Glasshouse Technologies UK. There are two questions in today's podcast. The first question is, what is cloud disaster recovery and what are its benefits? Over to you, Tom.
I think, like cloud computing in general, cloud disaster recovery can mean different things to different people. However, the fundamental principle is that it removes the need for dedicated infrastructure to facilitate a failover. There's no doubt that server and storage virtualization can certainly help reduce the cost of providing and maintaining a DR solution. However, right-sized dedicated infrastructure such as servers, storage, racks and data center space are still required. The cloud, however, changes everything because thanks to the technology and commercial flexibility cloud solutions are able to offer, organizations can dynamically scale their DR infrastructure in real time, paying only for the services they actually consume. In my opinion, the combination of virtual servers, local storage, and the overall agility offered by the cloud providers creates a very compelling proposition, which is helping IT organizations to further drive down the traditionally high cost of implementing and maintaining DR solutions. In terms of how it all works, at the moment I think there are two types of DR offered out of the cloud. For organizations actually running their production systems in the cloud, they typically have the availability SLAs built into those cloud service offerings, where it's actually the responsibility of the service provider to restore the systems and data. I think it's very important to point out that in the current market, these SLAs are often relatively basic, with the recovery process having little or no intelligence at the application layer, and because of this, one could question whether it really is disaster recovery. For me, cloud DR is more about using external cloud solutions to provide warm standby systems for your internal applications, where only the application data is actually continuously replicated into the cloud. If we look at an example of a classic three-tier web application that requires seven servers in the primary site, when the DR infrastructure and systems are provided out of the cloud, the level of resources allocated depends on whether the application is in replication mode or failover mode. During normal operation, the system stays in replication mode and requires only a single low-cost VM whose role is to facilitate the synchronization of application and configuration data. However, when a disaster occurs, the system enters failover mode, and at this point, the resources required to support the full application are brought online, i.e. seven servers, all of which can be automated. Moving forward, as more organizations adopt virtualization and build private clouds underpinned by the same technologies as the external providers who in turn release standard APIs, cloud DR will become much more viable and more integrated. The cloud will essentially become an extension to the live environment, so we could see DR becoming a concept of the past.
Thanks, Tom. And the next question is, what are the key questions to ask a cloud disaster recovery provider?
Really, you need to ask the same questions one would ask a cloud provider when adopting any cloud solution, with a few questions focusing on the specific DR service capabilities. These questions should definitely include topics such as financial stability, security controls, regulatory compliance, data handling, SLA management, and only then should you look at DR service functionality. So first of all, you should always establish the cloud provider's financial stability. Ask how long they've been trading, how are they funded, and what is their annual revenue, etc. Research the likelihood of a takeover or buyout. If your data is now handled by a third-party organization, can you really be certain that you are still compliant? And even worse, trying to recover data from an organization under investigation can be a nightmare. Does the provider adhere to your specific regulatory requirements, such as Basel II, SOX, PCI, SAS 70? If not, why not? And in most cases, if they don't, you should swiftly move on. ID management and access controls are also critical. Who is authorized to do what and when? Who can see my information? Data loss is a reality, and third-party providers can be held accountable for a sizable chunk of all data loss incidents. As a result, you need to know whether the administrator of your system, i.e. the cloud service provider, can see your data. Most admins have this ability. Therefore, does the provider have controls in place to avoid accidental or planned breaches in security with regard to your data and systems? Ask them about data handling. Where will our data be located and how will it be managed? What are the implications of losing some of my data? You need to ask your cloud service provider what its data protection policy is and what its audit procedures are. Due diligence should then be performed on those procedures. What happens in the event of data corruption? How many copies of your data does the third party have and over what time period? Can they reconstruct an image of your data at a given point from a partial backup? Just because this is DR, in the event of a failure, you still need to ensure the cloud provider can offer backup and recovery of what is now a live system. Once you have established the suitability of the provider, you can then drill down into the technical requirements, such as ability to provide database replication and file system synchronization. Can they provide dynamic DNS failover and global load balancing across multiple sites? Do their systems offer 24-hour alert notification to IT teams in the event of a disaster? Primary site monitoring from two separate locations should be offered as a minimum. So how do they monitor their failures? And finally, for providers who offer managed DR solutions, how often do they undertake verification tests, and do they offer verification reporting? Quite simply, you can never ask too many questions.
Thanks, Tom. And that's the end of the podcast.